They followed the Ravenclaws into the Great Hall, looking instinctively at the staff table as they entered. Professor Grubbly Plank was chatting to Professor Sinistra, the astronomy teacher, and Hagrid was once again conspicuous only by his absence. The enchanted ceiling above them echoed Harry's mood. It was a miserable rain cloud grey. Dumbledore didn't even mention how long that Grubbly Plank woman's staying, he said, as they made their way across to the Gryffindor table. Maybe, said Hermione thoughtfully. What? Said both Harry and Ron together.
Well, maybe he didn't want to draw attention to Hagrid not being here.
What do you mean, draw attention to it? Said Ron, half laughing. How could we not notice? Before Hermione could answer, a tall black girl with long braided hair had marched up to Harry. Hi, Angelina.
Hi,
she said briskly.
Good summer.
And without waiting for an answer, listen, I've been made Gryffindor Quidditch captain.
Nice one,
said Harry, grinning at her. He suspected Angelina's pep talks might not be as long-winded as Oliver Wood's had been, which could only be an improvement.
Yeah, well, we need a new keeper now Oliver's left. Tryouts are on Friday at 5 o'clock, and I want the whole team there, all right? Then we can see how the new person will fit in.
Okay, said Harry, and she smiled at him and departed.
I'd forgotten Wood had left,
said Hermione vaguely, sitting down beside Ron and pulling a plate of toast toward her.
I suppose that will make quite a difference to the team.
I suppose, said Harry, taking the bench opposite. He was a good keeper.
Still, it won't hurt to have some new blood, will it?
Said Ron. With a whoosh and a clatter, hundreds of owls came soaring in through the upper windows. They descended all over the hall, bringing letters and packages to their owners and showering the breakfasters with droplets of water. It was clearly raining hard outside. Hedwig was nowhere to be seen, but Harry was hardly surprised. His only correspondent was Sirius, and he doubted Sirius would have anything new to tell him after only 24 hours apart. Hermione, however, had to move her orange juice aside quickly to make way for a large damp barn owl bearing a sodden Daily Prophet in its beak.
What are you still getting that for?
Said Harry irritably, thinking of Seamus, as Hermione placed a canut in the leather pouch on the owl's leg and it took off again.
I'm not bothering. Load of rubbish.
It's best to know what the enemy are saying, said Hermione darkly,
and she unfurled the newspaper and disappeared behind it, not emerging until Harry and Ron had finished eating.
Nothing,
she said simply, rolling up the newspaper and laying it down by her plate.
Nothing about you, or Dumbledore, or anything.
Professor McGonagall was now moving along the table, handing out schedules.
Look at today, groaned Ron. History of magic, double potions, divination, and double defense against the dark arts. Binns, Snape, Trelawney, and that Umbridge woman all in one day. I wish Fred and George would hurry up and get those skiving snack boxes sorted.
Do mine ears deceive me? Said Fred, arriving with George and squeezing onto the bench beside Harry.
Hogwarts prefects surely don't wish to skive off lessons.
Look what we've got today, said Ron grumpily, shoving his schedule under Fred's nose.
That's the worst Monday I've ever seen.
Fair point, little bro, said Fred, scanning the column. You can have a bit of nosebleed nougat cheap if you like.
Why is it cheap? Said Ron suspiciously.
Because you'll keep bleeding till you shrivel up. We haven't got an antidote yet, said George, helping himself to a kipper.
Cheers, said Ron moodily, pocketing his schedule.
But I think I'll take the lessons. And speaking of your skiving snack boxes, said Hermione, eyeing Fred and George beadily, you can't advertise for testers on the Gryffindor notice board.
Says who? Said George, looking astonished.
Says me, said Hermione, and Ron.
Leave me out of it,
said Ron hastily. Hermione glared at him. Fred and George sniggered.
You'll be singing a different tune soon enough, Hermione,
said Fred, thickly buttering a crumpet. You're starting your fifth year. You'll be begging us for a snack box before long.
And why would starting fifth year mean I want a skiving snack box?
Asked Hermione.
Fifth year's OWL year, said George.
So?
So you've got your exams coming up, haven't you? They'll be keeping your noses so hard to that grindstone they'll be rub raw, said Fred with satisfaction.
Half our year had minor breakdowns coming up to OWLs, said George happily.
Tears and tantrums. Patricia Stimpson kept coming over faint. Kenneth Towler came out in boils, do you remember?
said Fred reminiscently.
That's 'cause you put Bulbadox powder in his pyjamas, said George.
Oh, yeah, said Fred, grinning. I'd forgotten.
Hard to keep track sometimes, isn't it?
Anyway, it's a nightmare of a year, the 5th, said George.
If you care about exam results anyway, Fred and I managed to keep our spirits up somehow.
Yeah, you got, what was it, 3 OWLs each, said Ron.
Yep, said Fred, unconcernedly. But we feel our futures lie outside the world of academic achievement.
We seriously debated whether we were going to bother coming back for our 7th year, said George brightly, now that we've got